Open your Bibles to Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so, as you know, the past four Sundays, on Sunday morning, we've been considering what God's Word has to say about God's Word. We've done this because we see in Hebrews 1:1, God has spoken. I would argue that right there, when we hear that God has spoken, should instantly cause our ears to go up and think, I need to listen. The Creator, the Holy, the Almighty God has spoken. What has he spoken? What can I understand what he has spoken? Can I hear what he has spoken? And so that should cause our ears to perk up. And so as we look at this text, we look at Hebrews 1:1, what we see. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. You see, this is referring to the Old Testament. And now, in verse 2, in the Old Testament times, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. We can read through that. We can see that. But in these last days, now he has spoken to us by his Son. I would say this does not mean what some have falsely made this to mean or misunderstood this to mean, that Jesus' words are more important than other words of Scripture. I know that sounds strange at first, but some will say we listen to what Jesus said and not what the rest of Scripture said. But if you think about the Scriptures, all of Scripture is God's Word, including the words Jesus spoke, and including the words that Paul wrote, including the Psalms that David wrote, including what Moses recorded for us in the Torah. So all of Scripture is God's Word, not just Jesus' words. Now, you'll hear that, just a side note, you'll hear that sometimes in liberal circles that'll want to deny certain teachings of Scripture, want to deny the whole counsel. Well, look, Jesus didn't talk about that. Jesus didn't say that. Well, Jesus affirmed all of God's Word. I mean, he spoke according to the authority of Scripture. He affirmed all of God's Word. But anyway, so what we see here, when we see that God has spoken to us in these last days, what this means is that Jesus is God's final revelation of himself to man. Jesus speaks God's Word because he is God's Word. He is the Word of God. Jesus speaks the Word of God because he is the Word of God. So Jesus is that final revelation that God has given. Not that the rest of Scripture wasn't written after his ascension, but Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. And so God speaks to us now through Jesus. And one of the reasons why I love Hebrews, especially this first chapter, is because we see the Old Testament Scriptures quoted. And what we do, what's amazing is that these Old Testament prophets are speaking of Jesus. They're speaking God's Word, and they're speaking about Jesus. Just look at verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Implied here is that he didn't. God never said to any of the angels, you are my Son. Look at verse 13. To which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? He hasn't. God hasn't said of the angels. He's never said of the angels, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. The implication here is that he's talking about Christ. So what we see, God's spoken word through the prophets, they spoke of the one who is God himself. They weren't talking this way about the angels. They were talking this way about Jesus. Look at verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So just look at the beginning. but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Right here we see through a quote from Psalm 45, which is from the sons of Korah, that Jesus is God. Jesus is superior to the angels because he is God. And because Jesus is God, this is where I'm trying to get to. Because Jesus is God, because God has spoken to us in the former days through the prophets, now he speaks to us by his Son. Because of that, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The very notion that God has spoken should awaken us to say, let me listen up. But as one of the things we see in Scripture, we're finite, we're fallen. And so therefore, we need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded. We need to be commanded to pay much closer attention to what we've heard. We saw the same thing in week one as we looked at Peter, and we see the very same thing. God has spoken. We, therefore, should pay much more close attention to what has been spoken, to what has been said. Because God has spoken, we should pay close attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away. And this message, verse 2, that was declared by angels, proved to be reliable. It was declared at first by our Lord. It was attested by signs and by wonders. This message which we have in our Bibles, it's reliable. It's true. Therefore, we would do well to pay attention. Therefore, we must pay careful attention. This is the main reason why I preach those four sermons on God's Word. The very thing, God has spoken. You should listen. I should listen. Sadly, though, and I know many of you have experienced this as well, many churches have wandered away. I would say they've wandered so far away from God's Word that it's probably safe to say that many who call themselves a church really aren't. This should not bring us to arrogance or to be proud. I would say this should drive us to our knees. This is probably, I know this is some of your personal experience. You've been a part of this. You know what it's like to be longing for God's Word, to be starved for God's Word, to finally come to a church where the Word is opened up and proclaimed, and you see how sweet that is. You see how satisfying it is to hear the Word open up. And so as we consider maybe where we've come, as we consider maybe even other churches, I would really commend you not to feel arrogant or proud. I mean, I know I did when I came over here. That's why I'm grateful for Tommy, for Bruce, for God using these men to humble me, still humbling me through them. And what I'm learning is that this should drive us to our knees. This should drive us to our knees in prayer. Because God's the one who does the work. God's the one who keeps us in his Word. It is by God's grace that every week you show up, that the Word of God is opened up. It doesn't take much to turn a church away. It doesn't take much to drift away. That's why we see here in Hebrews, therefore we must pay closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. This command, this admonition would not be there if there wasn't the temptation to drift away. And so I encourage you, actually I challenge you. I challenge you to pray for the preaching and teaching of the Word here at Providence. But not only to pray for the teaching and preaching of the Word, but to pray that the Word would be heard. John Calvin, in his Marks of a Church, I believe he said it was where you see the ordinances, so baptism and Lord's Supper, where you see church discipline practiced, and where the Word of God is preached and heard. So he said the preaching and hearing of the Word of God. Preaching is not something that someone just stands up and preaches and it falls on deaf ears. Where the Word of God is preached and truly preached, it's heard. It penetrates to the heart as the Spirit of God takes that preached word, penetrates, works in the heart of man. So I encourage you, I challenge you also, pray for your hearing. Pray that you would be diligent to hear. When Jesus gives the parable of the soils, he says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I encourage you, be diligent with how you hear the word. So as you come to church, as you prepare for church, be thinking about that. I mean, preaching, teaching does not take place without hearing as well. I think Bruce has been saying so many things to me lately that have been just like, you know, just quotable, tweetable. You know, I wish Bruce tweeted. he said, I've tried to get this right. He said something about our worship. The more intently we listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is how intent or how intense our worship is. I mean, do you think of listening as an act of worship? The intensity by which, isn't that what you said? The intensity by which we live. He thinks that's what he said, right? It was good. It was good when you said it. The intensity by which we listen to the Word of God reflects our heart in worship. So remember that. Preaching and teaching is not just about the person who is standing here talking. It's all of us. This is a corporate act. So pray for the preaching and teaching, but also pray that we'd have ears to hear.